What does a registered dietitian do? Should they be part of the medical team? Can we even trust registered dietitians? To celebrate my 50th episode, I wanted to explain exactly what a dietitian does, how they work with patients, and the immense value they provide to patients and you, the provider. If you're new here, I'm Colleen, an RD turned PA, and this is the Exam Room Nutrition Podcast, where I teach clinicians about nutrition. And if you've been listening for a while, you know that I passionately advocate for dietitians as the nutrition experts on the healthcare team. So I wanted to make sure all my listeners know exactly what a dietitian does for patients, why their education makes them the authority in nutrition, and how you can collaborate with and refer to dietitians. There is a lot of confusion around what a dietitian does. And I polled my audience on Instagram and asked for them to share their thoughts about what they think an RD does, and I got a lot of different answers. Some people said they help people eat healthy. Some said they'll put me on a diet. And while others said they tell me what not to eat. Now, while dietitians do discuss different diets and help patients make healthy food choices, their work is not limited to working in a clinic setting only, and they definitely aren't the food police. Many own and operate a private practice, helping picky eaters expand their diet. Many are writers for magazines. Many are involved in the school district, helping ensure nutritious meals for children. Some work on transplant teams or other medically complex teams. And honestly, I could go on and on. A common phrase you'll hear when discussing what a dietitian does is they provide medical nutrition therapy, which is defined as a nutrition-based treatment provided by a registered dietitian. It includes a nutrition diagnosis as well as therapeutic and counseling services to help manage chronic diseases. In this episode, you'll have a clearer understanding of what diagnoses are covered by insurance, how to refer to a dietitian, and what your patients can expect from their visit with a dietitian. Before I introduce my guest today, I wanted to address a recent article from the Washington Post that slammed dietitians who call themselves, quote, anti-diet dietitians, claiming that we're all paid by big food and promoting highly processed foods. Now, first of all, the media should really focus their energy on nutrition influencers and the false and dangerous nutrition advice that they share on their social media platforms, rather than targeting RDs at large. The article said that dietitians are anti-diet and promote high-fat, highly processed foods. Now, I think this raises a bigger issue of language and how we define the words that we use. Although I understand what a dietitian means when they say they are anti-diet, the terminology actually can be confusing to the public and medical professionals, especially when doctors say, hey, go see a dietitian and they'll put you on a diet. Now, the term diet simply means the kinds of foods a person habitually eats. And when a dietitian says they are anti-diet, it means they want to help people have a healthy relationship with food and heal from food fear, binge eating or restriction, and learn to eat all foods in moderation. Dietitians tried to teach people how to choose a dietary pattern that they could follow for the rest of their lives. Ultimately, what dietitians mean when they say anti-diet is that they are anti-fad diet, anti-quick fix diet, anti-TikTok trends. They simply want people to make the best choices for their body while still enjoying cultural and celebratory foods without shame or guilt. Dietitians take a whole person approach and work with patients' mental and emotional challenges when it comes to their health. And yes, dietitians come in all flavors because, hello, we're human and we're all different. Some dietitians might favor plant-based eating, while some may recommend the keto diet, and some might suggest meal replacement shakes. Ultimately, the dietitian wants you to be at your healthiest, mentally, physically, and emotionally, whatever diet that may be. So yes, dietitians can be trusted and they should be viewed as a valuable member of the healthcare team. Research has shown that for every $1 invested in an RD-led lifestyle modification program, there has been a nearly $15 return. Several studies have shown that medical nutrition therapy provided by RDs improved clinical outcomes, reduces costs related to PCP time, decreases medication usage, and reduces hospital admissions for individuals with obesity, diabetes, and other chronic diseases. Now, to go deeper into this research and discuss all of the wonderful things that registered dietitians do, I am so excited to introduce you to my guest today. Dr. Kristen Hicks-Roof is a registered dietitian, former tenured professor at the University of North Florida, and is now the Director of Nutrition Research at the National Pork Board. Prior to this new job, her major research interests focus on program development and evaluation using virtual technology, diving deeper on interprofessional education and communication among the healthcare team. She has published several papers on the role of the dietitian on the healthcare team. Kristen, thank you so much for giving me the gift of your time. I can't wait to get into this conversation with you. Welcome to the show.
I'm looking forward to chatting today.
So I am so passionate, just like you, about the role of the dietitian on the healthcare team. So I would love if you could just start this conversation by actually explaining to my listeners what that role is for the dietitian.
So dietitians, they're so versatile, right? And so many times people think that dietitians are just in clinical care, but there's dietitians in many different areas of practice. You could think inpatient care, outpatient, and even concierge services for like your private practice dietitians. And so when we think about working with dietitians, know that it's expansive. So what do dietitians do? Dietitians perform anything from understanding lab values, right? And how does nutrition play a role in lab values? Dietitians perform nutrition-focused physical exams. And in those types of exams, dietitians can really dive deeper into protein malnutrition, maybe vitamin and mineral malnutrition, things that a lay professional or a health professional who's not trained in those could really understand deeper. And then the last thing that I think dietitians have such a skill set that is underutilized oftentimes are really understanding the role of the social determinants of health in helping the patient. So whether that's food access, culturally appropriate food recommendations, it could be things like transportation, I mean, home life, walkability of their neighborhood to be able to access food. And so dietitians are so well-rounded in the sense of not only giving a food advice or recommendations or encouraging patients to consume healthier eating patterns, dietitians typically have more time with their patients. And so they can unpack some of these really complex matters that may be inhibiting a patient from being successful in whatever treatment regimen that they're on. And so when we boil it down, it's all about the patient. And a dietitian is just another tool in a health professional team's toolbox to support that patient.
Now, I love that you have a background in research. So I'm really excited to actually hear what the research shows on how dietitians are involved and why they should be involved in the healthcare team.
Many times what the research is showing is that health professionals, potentially physicians or other health professionals, depending on who's leading the team, don't refer out to a dietitian because they don't know what they do, right? And that's one of the biggest barriers is that role understanding. And that's what we've explored in my research program for the past, 8 years is really diving deeper into that. What the research is showing is that when dietitians are on the healthcare team, we're having improvements in several different outcomes, right? So there was a 2024 position paper by Dr. Raynor. It was a position paper with the Academy of Nutrition on the role of medical nutrition therapy with overweight and obese adults. And it was showing that when dietitians are a part of that healthcare team, because again, it's a team-based approach, it's not a one provider wins all. When they're part of that team, it can improve anthropometrics, quality of life, and then some of the other biometrics and lab values. And I think that quality of life is an important piece to talk about here because remember I said that dietitians can unpack those social determinants of health. And the research shows that it is improving quality of life because we can support and empower patients to eat the foods they love, but then improve those healthier habits. Maybe that's smaller portion sizes or, going to the core tenets of balance, variety, and moderation. So there's a lot going on here, but dietitians are really a tool in the toolbox. And I think that's the main message here is that when we're talking about patients, it's not a one provider situation, right? It's nursing, it's physical therapy, it's mental health counseling, it's dietitian, it's primary care. If we all can collaborate together, then it's less of a one person demand and we can showcase the skill sets and expertise of those dietitians. And that's what the research is showing.
I want to get into what your research showed about what other healthcare professionals think an RED does, because I think it's really interesting. And I actually, you know, just posted something on LinkedIn about how I used to not like to tell people that I was a dietitian. And other dietitians immediately were like, oh, yes, I totally get that. Because we are or were perceived as, you know, you're either a lunch lady or you just only put people on a meal plan or you put people on a diet or all we sit and do is judge people about the food that they eat, you know, or like comments about us eating a cookie or whatnot. And it's like they think we're like perfect with the foods that we eat. And it is true that the perceived idea of what a dietitian is and does and the way that they eat is kind of skewed. So I would love to hear like a little bit more of what did you find that other health professionals think an RD actually does?
It is such a great question. And I think we're only at the tip of the iceberg to really understand. So my interprofessional training program included primary care physicians, nursing, dietitians, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and mental health counseling. So it's a pretty comprehensive program, but we're seeing this in other aspects of the literature. So what oftentimes they think is they don't know. They literally do not know. There's some kind of that old tradition, right? Being a lunch lady or being in the cafeteria. And so there's still some of those notions, but I would say the younger generation of the emerging health professionals less think that. They think more of diet plans and food police. And that's what you see pervasive in the literature. And also, I remember when I was a corporate dietitian, I'd go into my corporate offices and they'd have, you know, holiday treats or what have you. And they were like, oh, don't go in there because you're going to judge me. And I'm like, "That it's not our role. Our role is not to judge you. Our role is to empower and to help you, right?" And that's, I feel like if you ask any dietitian why they become a dietitian, it's because they love helping people and they feel that food is medicine. Some of the other misconceptions of what a dietitian does is they just think they kind of come in, tell people what they have to eat, what they don't have to eat. And so oftentimes we're seeing other health professionals kind of step in that role of here's my plate or here's foods that you have to avoid potentially if you have this chronic disease or that chronic disease. And so I caution all of you who are additional or other health professionals beyond dietitians is work with a dietitian. Get to know one as a friend, as a colleague, as a partner, and you can always bounce ideas because there is a way that you can begin the conversation of nutrition, but then I think it's also important to understand where that role responsibility is and where we ultimately need to pass the baton to the nutrition expert, which is a dietitian. And so the research was really fascinating, I thought, because they honestly didn't really know what the dietitian did. And so in our program, as they got to understand the role of a dietitian, we saw that referral rates were skyrocketing after our program, because they then understood and respected us as dietitians. And then we're like, oh, this person clearly has malnutrition or they're not performing well in their physical rehabilitation. Wow, it's because they're not properly nourished. So, and so I think the dots were really able to connect there, and that I think all health professionals could benefit from just having a basic understanding of nutrition and then where to pass the baton. So I published two perspective papers, one in 2022 and one in 2023, really on how nutrition can be core across all providers. Us as dietitians, we're not trying to claim every ounce of nutrition because all of us eat food and we're all nutrition experts in our own way. But when we get into people with comorbidities, with health concerns, that's really where we need to be passing the baton besides just eat more fruits and vegetables, which is not really what dietitians say. Like to that very broad spectrum, we then kind of can dive deeper and say, here's how, right? And here's how we can get you to eat more fruits and vegetables, not just that standard, you know, very broad level guidance.
You make such a good point that it should be a team and dietitians should be part of this team. One of the many things that dietitians do so well when talking about nutrition and patients' diets is they learn what would work for that patient and recommend those suggestions. So for example, I've known some clinicians who were following the keto diet and they were really successful with it and it worked really well for them. And so they were telling their patients all to follow the keto diet, where a lot of those patients struggled with that because it didn't fit their lifestyle. It didn't fit their culture. It didn't maybe fit their religion. Whereas a dietitian, maybe she does or he does follow a keto diet, but they're not recommending that for every patient just because it worked for them. They do a really good job of understanding the emotional needs, the psychosocial needs, the physical needs of patients when it comes to their diet, not just providing, you know, a meal plan and a handout and say, we'll see you again in, you know, next year. I think what the other thing that is so helpful for clinicians to know what a dietitian does is to know that there's someone else who loves to talk about nutrition out there who you can just send your patients off to. Because I am a clinician, right? I've got the two roles. And when I have my PA hat on, it honestly is sometimes exhausting and overwhelming and really stressful to think that you also have to solve the patient's nutrition problems and bring up their weight and discuss, you know, solutions for their questions and their concerns all in like a 10-minute checkup. And you're doing all of the other medical issues as well too. And it's really overwhelming. So I feel like it's a really great way to prevent burnout, knowing that, hey, you know what? Here's a quick suggestion that you can provide your patient, because ideally we should be talking about nutrition with all of our patients, but here's a referral to a dietitian. Now they don't have to be so stressed about feeling the need and the burden that they need to talk about nutrition. There is someone who loves to do that and really wants to do that. Now, I know you looked into this a little bit, the referrals, and I'm curious as to what you found as to what is the biggest barrier with referrals and why is it such a big issue?
Yeah, so you bring up so many great points. Again, dietitians are just tools in the toolbox, right? Now, when it comes to referrals, I will say that the research has uncovered several different barriers, and this is pervasive and has improved over time, but it's not as good as it needs to be. So number one is reimbursement, right? So if dietitian services are not covered by Medicare or private paying, then they won't be referred out because the physician or whoever is the referring provider knows that maybe that patient can't afford it, or many patients don't have the resources to be able to pay those out-of-pocket fees because dietitians are professionals and they're not free services, right? So I think reimbursement is one. We talked about it earlier, is that role responsibility and understanding. If they don't know what a dietitian does, then it looks bad on them as a provider of referring out, because if a patient comes to them and was like, what should I expect from my dietitian consult? And they don't know what that looks like. And so I think it's the role of the dietitian just as much as it's the role of any other clinician to meet and greet, know what each other do, learn what they do. And that way it can better support you in that referral process. And that could be a bi-directional referral process. That's not a one way. And we saw that a lot in our research as well. And then the third thing really that is the barrier is time, right? Like there's only so much time you have. Do you have time to refer? Do you know of a dietitian to refer to? Because sometimes that's a whole nother ball game. So the Academy of Nutrition does have a find an RD tool. If you are, let's say, a private practice clinician or you have a virtual practice. So that's a great tool to just meet and greet a dietitian. So we're seeing those barriers again continue, but I think with the improved patient, like the healthcare models that have been adapted over the past 10 years, improved reimbursement codes. So things are moving in the right direction, but it takes a lot of time, right? Insurance takes a long time to get on board with nutrition services.
All three of those barriers I've actually felt in practice, especially, and this is kind of funny because I am a dietitian, you know, like I've especially felt that in my area, when I wanted to refer a child because he was a picky eater, and I don't do that for the company that I work for. I'm a PA. I'm not the dietitian there. I wanted to refer to a dietitian to work with a patient. And with our electronic health record system, I had no one. And I'm like, I know there are dietitians around, and or virtually who would love to see this patient, but I couldn't find any. And so I love that you had mentioned that the Academy has that Find a Dietitian. And we're actually in an exam room nutrition. We are launching a dietitian group. And that's exactly what we're doing because it's so hard for one, dietitians to find clinicians, and two, the reverse, for the clinician to know and befriend dietitians. And so that's exactly what we're going to be doing in the coming months, is having online virtual meet and greets to connect dietitians with clinicians. Just so, again, so the message gets out there, hey, there are all these dietitians who work in your specific field who would love to work with your patients. So if you're a dietitian listening and you wanted to get connected and join this community, just shoot me an email, colleen@examroomnutrition.com, and I can send you the information. And if you're a clinician who would love to join this, I would love to also send you that information too. You can shoot me an email, colleen@examroomnutrition.com, or find me on Instagram @examroomnutrition. It's going to be such an awesome community to hopefully bridge this gap of nutrition awareness and of the dietitian exposure to the healthcare team. So I'm super excited about that. But another interesting point that you had brought up was reimbursement. And this just comes up time and time again. And I remember feeling so frustrated as a dietitian with the lack of reimbursement, because then what you hear as a dietitian, and I actually had a friend on Instagram had this exact thing happen. She is a picky eater dietitian and she works with pediatrics. She was referred a patient, but the insurance didn't cover it. And so she told her what her self-pay fees were. And the patient actually like laughed and was like, well, I'm not paying that. They didn't see the value in that. And unfortunately, now this child actually will be suffering because they can't get the help that they need from a pediatrician. They just don't have the training in picky eating counseling. And so I'm wondering, where do you think that that's going to go? Do you think that there is a resolution to that? Because it's unfair for dietitians to charge, you know, $20 an hour. That's not realistic. If you look at what attorneys charge and any other professional, you pay for their services. So I'm just curious as to what you think might be the solution to that in the future.
Yeah. So I think to start is people don't know the extensive training that dietitians go through, right? They have a bachelor's degree, or as of 2024, a master's degree is required, plus that 1,000+ hour internship and national board exam. So you're paying for the expertise because, and this is where it gets challenging, right? You have so many health coaches or nutrition experts who are not credentialed providers, and they're potentially putting those patients at risk because they do not have the depth and breadth of training. So I think that's a first and foremost. Dietitians, registered dietitian nutritionists or registered dietitian, you're paying for the expertise. Now, where does it go? It's a great question. So there is the Medical Nutrition Therapy Act in Congress that hopefully at some point in the next 5 or 10 years, that will eventually be passed. And that would provide medical nutrition therapy, which is the service provided by dietitians, especially in clinical care, that will be able to provide them to patients who are overweight, have a chronic disease, maybe are undernourished or potentially picky eating, things that maybe are more complex in nature. And that's really what medical nutrition therapy is. But I think it's also, like I said, if we can understand the patient and what their needs are, there's a lot of, I wouldn't say workarounds, but there's physician codes for billing nutrition services. So a dietitian can provide consulting hours at a physician's offices and it can be billed that direction. There's also many insurance companies now that are offering preventive service codes, ICD codes. And so that's another way that if you're a clinician and you have a practice or a facility, you may not necessarily need a full-time dietitian, although I would love every location to have that. That would be the dream. But we can also have part-time or consulting dietitians. And there's many dietitians who do that both in person and virtually. It's about the patient, right? And the patient can get the most optimal, well-rounded care when they have the depth and breadth of what a dietitian can offer. And many of those consults are not in that 10-minute span, right? You know, you're a PA, you just like a physician as well, you get maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes or less with a patient. Dietitians can do that, but you see oftentimes dietitian consults can be 30 minutes up to an hour. And that can really unpack those social determinants of health. And then with that bi-directional referral process, the dietitian hopefully will then communicate back to that referring provider saying, here's some gaps that we saw. Maybe this is something that you work together.
Now, if someone were to refer a patient to a dietitian and they're like, okay, this sounds great, I would love for you to educate the listener on, number one, what types of conditions should they be considering a referral for? And number two, how do we do that? And what codes currently at this time are covered by insurance?
Oh man, that's such a complex question. Okay, let me try to break it down here. Okay, so number one, if you see a patient and you're like, maybe they could benefit from nutrition. If they're suffering from any sort of chronic disease, impairment, any sort of aversions to eating or weight issues, I mean, that's kind of lumped in with chronic disease, they're a great candidate for reactive medicine. But you can also do preventive medicine. Talking with patients about, you know, our credentialed providers, it may or may not be covered in your insurance, but this is what, if this is something that's important to you, it can be a provider. So it could be a, you know, a poster on your office wall. There's other ways that we can educate in both preventive and reactive medicine. So I think that's one. Malnutrition is a big thing in clinical care. So if you're in a clinical facility, I would say malnutrition screening is a dietitian's bread and butter to be able to screen, figure out what the deficiencies are and educate and support and provide that optimal nutrition treatment. So that's step one. Step two is what happens when I refer out. And this was a lot of what we found in the research is they didn't really know what that process looked like. There's downloadable referral forms on the Academy, but it could be also any of your referral forms that maybe you have in your clinical practice. In terms of billing codes, though, there's quite a few. Like I said, there's many physician billing codes that can provide nutrition services. There's a preventive nutrition codes. And then if your patient has diabetes or chronic kidney disease, those are covered. And so that is an easy win that all patients with diabetes or chronic kidney disease should be referred out to a dietitian. But you can look up ICD-10 and look up nutrition or preventive services because sometimes that's where it's housed.
So, so helpful. Now, I want to linger here a little bit and just talk to maybe the inpatient clinicians because it's a little bit different, right? Inpatient, you're consulting the dietitian. You're not necessarily referring them. So I would love if you can educate some of our providers on the indications and the reasons to consult a dietitian.
So when to consult or talk with a dietitian, I would say probably, this is my guess, I don't know, probably 80 to 90% of your patients could benefit from nutrition services. Now, with that said, there's not always the capacity for the dietitians in that facility to meet the needs of every patient that needs to be set. So typically, if you're an inpatient in a facility, you have, as a dietitian, there's specific codes that, or referral diagnosis codes that they prioritize. And then there's some ancillary codes. So malnutrition is probably one of the biggest ones. Some hospitals and facilities have a overweight and obesity, but since the American population is trending more and more in that population, not all dietitians will see every overweight patient. There could be some high or low lab values. So if there's any indicator of a chronic disease risk, anything from liver, diabetes, endocrine, any kind of extreme high or extreme low where there's a chronic disease, that's a great way to refer out to a dietitian because dietitians are trained in anything from fatty liver all the way to things like what you talked about, Colleen, with picky eating. People may not realize, wow, that could be a dietitian. But I would say, creating that partnership with the inpatient dietitian is really where everything blooms, right? If you can have that open conversation that you're seeing them inpatient in the halls or you know where the diet office is, it's a great way to ping them. Either, you know, now many times there's EHR mobile accessibility. And so if you see a patient that is just not perfect, and if they're in the inpatient, they're probably not perfectly healthy, it's a great way to start the conversation. And dietitians love anywhere from prevention to reactive. So know that you have experts who are willing to help the patients along that entire spectrum. Again, a dietitian is a tool in the toolbox to support the patient.
I couldn't agree with you more. So I would love to close. If you could differentiate and explain the difference between, you've already kind of told us what the education and credentials of a registered dietitian are, but are they the same thing as a nutritionist?
So no, they are not. The nutritionist is a title that anyone can kind of give themselves. They may have gotten a certificate. They may have done a one-time program. And you see this all over Google and the media. And while those people may have some training in education and nutrition, it is nowhere near the depth and breadth and the science and rigor of a registered dietitian or now a registered dietitian nutritionist. Those two are the same thing. So several years ago, the Academy and CDR had adopted to become a registered dietitian nutritionist. And that was to helpfully prevent people from using that term nutritionist, as that can be part of our credential now. So know that you're paying for, just like if you were to pay to see a doctor, you're paying for their training and expertise. But I also want to say, I want to have like one final disclaimer, and you kind of mentioned it in the very beginning, is there is research to support so many dietary patterns. There's research to support ketogenic, Mediterranean, vegan, low carb, high carb. I mean, there is literally ample research because nutrition is still such a new science, really, when you compare it to other things like microbiology and biology, right? And so with that being said, it is the goal for the dietitian to learn about all the research and then help support the patient where they're at. So that may not be as extreme as putting them on a ketogenic diet if they are not eating those types of dietary patterns. And that's really where the dietitian's expertise will come into play of, here's where the patient's at, and here's how I can use behavior change theories to move the needle to improve the patient's health. It's not this extreme elimination or anti-diet or whatever you're hearing in the media. That is not necessarily what most dietitians do. And so I really want to make sure that the dietitians just want to make people have healthier lifestyles. And they're there to support the physician and the patient to have the best life. And that's really what we want. That's what we're passionate about.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's exactly what dietitians want to do. They want to help the patient. They want to help them have a healthier relationship with food while still enjoying some of their favorite cultural foods and celebratory foods, rather than enforcing strict limitations on them, right? Because a dietitian's goal is to help the patient learn how to eat all foods that they enjoy for the rest of their life. So I couldn't agree with you more. Kristen, do you have any final thoughts that you wanted to share before we end?
I would just encourage anyone who is not a dietitian listening on the call, we think it's great that you talk briefly about nutrition at any of your consultations. I encourage you to refrain from telling people kind of that black and white, you cannot eat these or you cannot do this, because then they come and they're really confused. You know, there's kind of an undisclosed hierarchical in medicine. And so if a physician is saying you cannot eat these foods, then the dietitian has a hard time, you know, training and untraining sometimes with those patients. So it's great that you introduce the nutrition conversation. Here's how nutrition can help you. And then pass that baton.
What an encouraging place to end. Kristen, thank you so much for sharing this information. I have loved our conversation. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and good luck to all of you. I'm excited for that network you're launching, Colleen. I think that is going to be such a great tool that connects these providers. So good luck, everyone.
All right, guys, now it's time for My Nutrition Notes. First off, I wanted to remind you of a super fun way for dietitians and providers to mingle. Quarterly, I hold virtual provider dietitian mixers, where we have a fun social hour meeting each other in breakout rooms so that we can ultimately provide the best care to our patients. It is an amazing networking opportunity for dietitians and providers. I would love for you to join. So if you'd like to sign up for that, I created a form below in the show notes. Just fill that out and I'll get you all the information to get you signed up for our next one. I'd like to close by helping you understand exactly what's covered by insurance. And this can get tricky because it really does depend if the patient is on Medicare or has private insurance. However, medical nutrition therapy that's covered by Medicare and most private insurance plans includes diabetes, non-dialysis kidney disease, and 36 months post-kidney transplant. So if you've got one of those three patients, their nutrition services are covered. Medicare covers 3 hours of medical nutrition therapy in the first year of the referral and 2 hours for subsequent years. Medicare also has a diabetes prevention program, so Medicare beneficiaries with prediabetes who have an elevated BMI of 25 or higher are eligible to receive a diabetes prevention service. It's called the Medicare Diabetes Prevention Program. Now, obviously, individual plans will vary with what they cover, but honestly, I would just suggest you make the referral to a dietitian for nutrition services for any patient with a nutrition-related concern or a disease, and then the dietitian and the patient can work on reimbursement together. A common code that can be used is Z71.3. This is dietary counseling and surveillance, and this can also be used for preventative services as well too. I'm also going to link a really helpful toolkit from the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics in the show notes that has a few sample referral forms that actually have a bunch of billable diagnosis codes that you can just check off. All right, my friend. Well, I hope you have enjoyed episode 50 as much as I have. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for making this possible for me to have 50 episodes. I am so grateful that you have chosen to listen to my podcast. And after today's episode, I hope you understand a little bit more about what registered dietitians do and that you will choose to refer your patients to dietitians to help you and your patients in the future. All right, my friend, well, that's all for today. But as always, let's continue to make our patients healthier, one exam room at a time. I'll see you next time.